Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Friends Church on Easter Sunday. I've met a bunch of new people. Just happy you're here this morning. I hope you're happy, too. You can smile and then look a little friendly anyways. Hey, I know it's early. In case you're new here this morning, we just want to welcome you. We're glad you're here. We're hoping this next hour will be enjoyable, that it will be thought-provoking, and perhaps that it will ignite or catalyze you further in your own spiritual journey in some way. In case you didn't notice, we had hot beverages served out in the lobby, including Phil and Sebastian coffee. So, please feel free to help yourself at any time. We don't lock the doors, okay? So you don't have to worry about that. If you're here for the first time, you're a little nervous, you haven't been in church in a long time or whatever, you know, you can just come and go as you please, all right? Just feel nice and relaxed. How many enjoyed the Fleetwood Mac? Is that all right? Fleetwood Mac fans out there? Okay, a few. Good. Any Lumineer fans in the house? Okay. Oh, some enthusiasm there. How about City in Color? Any City in... Oh, we got it. Okay. All right. Red Hot Chili Peppers? Anyone? Okay. All right. I've already talked to some people that saw our banners up, and they could see that they could only make the chili peppers out and our website. So that was all it took to get them here. We're glad. There's even going to be some chili... There's going to be some great music happening this morning. We know that there are some that feel that that music doesn't belong in church, along with coffee, jeans, and t-shirts. We think it all goes together, in fact. Especially on Easter Sunday, we think it all goes together. You see, here's the deal. For hundreds of thousands of years, church has been seen as this, kind of seen and understood as this place that we go to that's kind of separate from our everyday lives. It's kind of sacred, holy. It's a building where God seems to dwell. And we come and we sing songs that are spiritual. And we deliberate on things that are spiritual and, you know, maybe just stuff that we don't normally think about during the week, songs that maybe we're not normally singing along to during the week. And that's fine, and that's good, and it's been helpful. But there is a kind of a dangerous flip side to that perception of church. And that is that where we live Monday to Saturday, where we work and where we play, the music we listen to, is seen as less spiritual. Almost as if God resides here and where we live is somewhere else. And so we come in on Sundays and we kind of put on our spiritual hats and experience God. And then we go back out to the world. Kind of two separate concepts. Here's the deal though. We think if anyone would have disagreed with that concept, we think it would be Jesus. Because Jesus was so good at blurring the lines between our everyday lives, his everyday lives, and the spiritual. It was like he was having conversations, striking up these great conversations with questionable people in what they considered unholy places. In fact, he had often the church crowd kind of wigging out because he was seen with the wrong kind of people in the wrong kind of establishments. He was constantly showing and teaching people that God can be found in the everyday. Right where you live, where you work, in the things that you enjoy doing in your own times, in the music you listen to that you enjoy. That, we believe, is a picture of what we're trying to achieve. Blending, showing how the spiritual realm can come right into our everyday lives. In fact, we believe God is so much bigger than a building or a church. He goes with you everywhere you go. And he perhaps enjoys some of the music you like too. So, this morning, we're going to listen to some good music. And And it's good for a whole bunch of different reasons, because we believe even within these themes of this music that perhaps hasn't been played in churches you've been in, it has themes and spiritual undercurrents and stuff that has resonated with each of us. And we're going to highlight it. So we're going to tell the story, the Easter story, through some of this stuff. Is that all right? You guys good with that? Okay. Let's do it.
There he stands, the man that claims to be a king. The chief priests are terrified because of the masses of people that follow this man. His loyal supporters follow him everywhere. Everywhere, but here. Here, he stands alone. He looks small and weak, powerless. I feel sorry for him, standing there, vulnerable. I hear murmurs from the crowd. They're going to ask Pilate to release a prisoner. But surely they aren't going to ask for. And then I hear Pilate yell over the crowd, "Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" Pilate's words anger the priests. How dare he call this man a king? He certainly isn't the King of the Jews. Suddenly, I hear whispers. Barabbas, a name I don't want to hear. Like a snake, the word weaves its way around the crowd until everyone is saying, chanting, yelling. What shall I do then with the one you call the King of the Jews? That only makes the crowd angrier. Standing there, tense but quiet, when the words are yelled, "Crucify him!" And I can't help but wonder, why him? What has he done to hurt anyone? Then another person shouts, and another, and another. Suddenly, the crowd is angry. People are yelling, screaming, over and over, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Their anger seems to grow, and I feel nervous. The passion of the crowd is mounting. People begin to throw things, to push their way toward the front. What did he do? I feel myself being shoved into following the crowd. I try to stop, to move back, to not get carried along. The soldiers lead the prisoner to be flogged. I don't want to watch. It's disgusting. And yet, I can't look away. It's as though I have to watch. Every lash seems like an eternity. Over and over, stripping away flesh, bearing bone. Once it is all over, you can't see a man, only blood, skin ripped off and barely hanging in shreds. But as he stands up and looks at the crowd, I swear he makes eye contact with me. It's as if he can see right into my soul. I shiver, as though I can feel his pain pierce my own flesh. Then comes the slow, painful walk to the hill where he will be crucified. I follow, not really sure why. I sometimes lose sight of the man, but I try to stay as close as possible. Something about this man draws me to follow, to see it through to the end. The crowd grows the longer that we walk. I feel my feet start to grow heavy. The sun burns my face. Sweat drips down my neck. After a while, the condemned man can't carry his own cross anymore. So the soldiers grab another man from the crowd. They force him to carry the cross instead. Soon, the man from the crowd is covered with the blood of the prisoner. I wonder if he will ever get clean. I wonder if he will ever feel clean. I can't tear my eyes away as they drive spikes into the hands and feet, then put him up in front of everyone. He is naked, and I turn my head away. I can't bear to shame him by looking. Shame burns inside my belly. How could they do this? What has he done? The people on either side of me curse and yell and call him a liar. Venom spews from their mouths, words of hate. I feel their wretched anger burning around me like fire. The minutes stretch into hours, but all I can see is the man's struggle. I can't hear his words, but I can see his body collapsing with pain, struggling for each breath. The prisoner lets out a cry. It isn't like any sound I've ever heard before. I feel it burning, choking me. I can't breathe. He cries out from deep inside, and then he dies. His body stops fighting, and he is gone. A few days later, I am walking through the market, and I hear the priests whispering. The body is missing, they say. It's gone from the tomb. What would anybody want with a corpse? But then, someone else whispers that the man rose from the dead, that Jesus lives. Who'd ever believe a thing like that? Would you?
I think it's probably safe to say that the Easter story impacts us all a little different. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Vince. I grew up in a Christian family, so for me, the Easter story is about family, family dinners. But for some of us, it has to do with theology, this idea that we are now right with God. Or maybe for you, it's that now the world has changed somehow, that evil and good are somehow changed. Probably for some of you, you've never even heard the Easter story before. You're just trying to figure out what the heck that was all about. And that's okay, too. The question I want to ask you today, though, is, was the Easter story the end of something? Did the story that she just said, did that finish something? Or was that the beginning of something? See, here at Friends Church, we say the Easter story is the beginning of a way of life. The early church used the words, Jesus lives. And for us, it means Jesus lives through us today, here, in 2013. So the question I want to ask you today is, what does that look like in your life? At Friends Church, we take this idea so seriously that we actually wrote a story so that we remember this idea that Jesus lives through us. The story goes like this. There's this guy, and he owns some land. And on the land, he's got a well. And the well is amazing. And the guy's generous, so he just gives the water to anyone who needs it. His family prospers. His neighbors prosper. The whole area prospers. The place is green. It's beautiful. And then one day, the man's called away. And so he leaves the well in the care of some of his neighbors, some of the people who live closest to him. He said, you take care of this. For the first little while, it went well. The well was giving water. People were thriving. Families were doing well, focused on each other, not on surviving. And then one day, someone asked a question. They said, how much water is in that well anyways? And what happens if that thing runs out? What happens to us? They started to freak out. So they said, well, we got to do something about this. They made some guidelines around who could access the water. And the guidelines became rules. And the rules became fences. And pretty soon the fences became walls that covered all the area around the well. Only the people in the inner circle who lived inside the castle or the walls, they could access the water. No one else could. The landowner heard about this and he was furious. The water was for everybody. So he sent his son to go and take a look to see what was going on. He thought, this can't be happening. So the son shows up and he can't even, the landmarks are all gone. Everything is it's a desert. In the middle of this desert, there's this walled off area. People are dying of thirst. So the son goes and knocks on the wall, hello? The guy's who are you? He's my dad owns this place. What are you people doing? This was never the intention. The water was for everybody. So he got inside the walls and he got them all together. And he started talking about them. He told over and over again, this water is for everybody. And slowly started to convince a few of them that this is what this whole thing was about. So they started to tear down the walls. And as the walls came down, the people on the edge, the people who were dying of thirst, started to kind of come back to the well. Some of them, they had to help. They were they're in rough shape. Some people couldn't even access it. So the son, he got a bunch of people, they grabbed some buckets of water and they took water to the people who were dying of thirst in the area. And it was amazing. Within weeks, months, the place is green again. Just like the landowner meant. And then one day someone said, so how much water is in that well anyways? So the people who were the original rule makers started to get freaked out. So to protect what they thought was theirs, they had the son murdered. And over the next couple days and weeks, they created guidelines around who could access the water. And the guidelines became rules. And the rules became walls. And pretty soon they built an entire castle to protect who could access that water in that well. We tell this story here at Friend Church because we do not want to be a church that builds castle walls. We think the water is for everybody, and we are going to be a church that takes water to our world. That's what we're about. When we say today Easter started something, that's what we think it started. This concept of Jesus living through us, taking water to your world, making your world better. The smile you give to your kids in the morning when they come wake you up too early. Jesus lives, right? The hug, the affection you give your partner. The call you give your parents. The thing you do for the person on the side of the road, the money and time you give to relief and development causes, that's Jesus lives through us. That's water. So the question we want to ask today is, where can you take water?
Yeah, that was awesome. I don't know if you're able to read this script behind the band as they were singing. We're proud of something we've been up to down in Rio Azul. We believe we're making a difference in a village we've adopted. And not a fly-in, bomb-in, bomb-out kind of look at us, we're the heroes, we're going to fix your lives. Nothing like that. We're just going in and helping them with things that they don't have the resources to do. But it's driven by them, and they're doing it. And so we've been partnering with them. And we're on year 5 now, and we're seeing the life change going on. We're so proud of this, and we just tell our community, we do a lot of different things, but here's something, without apology, we say, get behind this. You guys got a little cash? Do it. And it's funny, I'll be sitting with guys I play hockey with, people that sit outside the church, and I'll tell them about this, and they go, man, I could get behind that thing. And I don't know if you're here this morning, and you give globally to causes beyond your own neck of the woods. But I want to tell you about a great thing here in Rio Azul that we're doing. And if you'd like to participate with us, partner with us to do something great over there, we invite you to climb on board. You can even cut us a check, throw it in the offering, or go online and donate. We are so proud that every dollar, every cent that we're raising is going over there to change lives in another country. Now, that's third world, and I guess when we start talking about taking water, I guess it's common for people to think, oh yeah, well, that is a third world kind of thing. We do that for developing countries. But the truth is, we get involved over in a country like Guatemala and Rio Azul only a few times a year. The bulk of the water carrying opportunities to make a difference, they're all around us every day. Like, you don't have to look far to find ways to take water to your world. The band are going to sing a song now. It speaks to needs that happen right in our own city, right around us.
I don't know if you knew this, but Anthony Kiedis, the guy who wrote this song, wrote that song at a really, really dark point in his life. Which is ironic, because it was the first time in I don't know how many years that he was clean. He was a heavy, heavy, heavy drug user for many years. And he finally got himself off drugs, but his band didn't. And so he found himself coming into rehearsal one day, and they were all getting high and having a great time and bonding, and that's just not the life he wanted to lead anymore. And so he writes a story in his memoirs that he was driving away just feeling like there's no one around. He's all alone. All the people that he connects with, all the people he loves, he's not part of the group anymore. And he just had this feeling like, what is there? And then all of a sudden he felt the city around him, and he realized the only friend he's got left is the city he lives in, the city of angels. It's a bit maybe extreme for most of us. We're probably not all coming off drugs and trying to find new friends. But I think Calgary is a pretty amazing city. I've lived in a bunch of cities across the prairies. Like, we have an unbelievably beautiful city here, don't we? Driving in the morning, you know, the light shining on the mountains, the city's so dark. Like, wow. It's about 1 million people in Calgary, more if you look at the surrounding areas. And how many of them are needy? How many people are poor, maybe working poor? Do you know that there's thousands of kids every day who go to school, like little kids? They go to school without a lunch because their parents can't afford to make them one. You know, you're in grade 2. How do you pay attention to what you're supposed to be learning when your stomach's growling because you haven't eaten anything that day? We partner with an organization called Brown Bagging It for Calgary's Kids that makes sure that they have a lunch. Make sure that people can get ahead, can get out of the poverty that they're in. There's tons of opportunities throughout the city of programs that can help people who are financially poor, which is all nice and good. You all drove in here to Britannia as you came in. Not a lot of poverty in this area, is there? But there's more of the kinds of poor than just financially poor. How about relationally poor? Or maybe emotionally poor? Do you have any idea of the neighbors living around you? The impact you could have on them? Just saying hi, going over with a case of beer or something? I think it's amazing. A lot of you parents are in sports, sitting in the spectator areas watching your kids. I'm guessing there's people around you who are relationally poor who would be dying for someone just to say hi. I was swimming the other day, and this old guy chatted me up for 5 minutes while I'm trying to get my workout in. I wanted to swim, and I was like, oh, message, that's right, relationally poor. Got it. There's also people who are situationally poor, right? Driving down the road, someone breaks down. You see someone trying to get through a door with too many bags, or the mums with the super chariot things with the 6 kids, and they're like, woo. You know, we can help, can't we? Sometimes there's a person behind us in the Starbucks line. Just buy them a coffee or something. Situationally poor, that happens too. So in a city of 1 million people, in our unique places, with our unique lives, the unique situations that we're in, what are the opportunities for you there? What are the places where you can be Christ lives in that moment?
Yeah. For all you City in Color fans, Dallas Green fans, you'll know that was a huge hit for that band when this song came out. It's something about this song, talking about coming home, resonated so deeply within the listeners, the fan base. I don't know about you, but there just seems to be this deep longing for a place to belong. When I think about home in this song, it's not so much a place as much as it is my community and this desire that I have to feel accepted and loved. You know what I mean by that? Where despite my mistakes and my foibles, weeks when I'm just off or I blow it and let down friends, when the truth about Jeff Jarvis is laid bare, to have a community that can look me in the eye and I know I'm more than enough for the people in my life. When I can look at them and know that I'm okay. That I'm still Jeff and they still love me and accept me. Isn't there something about that that we all just so deeply want? Here at Friends Church, that's something that we're just continually trying to promote here in our community, but as well in your own lives, building relationships where we're free to be authentic and real, where when we're able to have one of those honest truth-telling sessions and say, okay, something's going on here, and you can be honest, you can be real, and you know they're looking at you without judgment, without criticism. And there's a safe place where you can call home. Around here, every time that happens, every time someone makes room at a table for someone, come sit down, every time someone opens up and shares a secret and isn't greeted by negative reaction or correction or criticism or judgment, every time someone is able to be true to themselves and be open and be free to do that, and people around them embrace them, we believe the Easter story is being lived out. That in that environment, Jesus is alive and he's living through these people in the way that they're loving and accepting and building this safe place of belonging. That is something we invite people continually to experience. Yeah. We're going to sing another song here.
Yeah.
Okay, so the band, we just need to do a little switcheroo here. So we're just going to have you talk amongst yourself for a little bit. And let me just point out, you probably have some survey cards on your seats when you came in. Maybe you're sitting on them or around. We'd love your feedback. We always invite feedback. We're trying to build experiences Sunday mornings that sometimes sit out of conventional church to get you thinking, to get you wrestling, to provoke thought. We kind of see Sunday mornings as a spiritual gym of sorts. We don't want you too comfortable. We don't even want you checking your brain at the door. We don't want you half an hour later going, yeah, what was that all about again? No, we want to get you wrestling with stuff. Because we believe that what we're talking about here can be used throughout the week. So anyways, give us your feedback. We'd love to hear it. Be nice, but be honest. How's everyone doing? You doing well? We got a little more music lined up here. It's going to be good. You all okay? You're just nice and relaxed? Chill? Great. Good. All right. We're almost there? Intro the band. Why don't I? When we start over here, our keyboard player, Johanna. Everyone, that's Johanna. Yeah. Maybe hold your applause. This might take a little while. Rose over there. Sorry, Laura. Laura, sorry, I was looking at Rose. Laura and Rose and Kathy, our background singers this morning. Fantastic. And Dan down here. And we got Vaughn on the acoustic and electric he's been playing. Well done. Heather Dunphy, lead vocals. Gavin Sroshan on the drums. Bringing it. Dave, listening very carefully as he tunes his bass. He's also a new dad just this week. Kyla, are you in the house? Where are you, Kyla? I heard you're here. Maybe. Okay, she's out in the back. Sorry. And right here on electric guitar is... She's around. Oh, there she is. Kyla, wave to us. You happy mom? New happy mom. And right here we got Lloyd Good on the guitar. That's the band. They're going to do another number for us. Enjoy.
Ready?
Fantastic. You know what's scary to me sometimes when I think about it is how easy it is to hide our internal struggles down below. You know, we can act calm and collected and put a smile on our face, and people, for the most part, would never know what's going on inside. But down deep, we're a mess. We can be. Struggling with hurts and habits. For some, it's insecurities and fears, anxieties, overwhelmed by stress. You just get to this place where you're just feeling handicapped, and we don't say anything because we fear perhaps what people might say or think. We don't want to get labeled as a problem friend. And so you just try to get by. You try to gut it out, hoping maybe things will sort themselves out. Maybe every now and then we drop a little hint to a friend that maybe there's a little trouble and you hope that they'll pick it up, but they don't pick up the hint. And they kind of slough it off and, oh, yeah, you know, don't we all, whatever. And you're just like, oh. You know what I'm talking about? You're in that place of turmoil. And you're just going, man, I just wish I had relationships with people where I could work some of this stuff out with. I could lean on some other people. Yeah. Around here, we talk a lot about having people in our lives and building these support structures where we can go there. Sunday mornings, we try to create this safe place where we can talk about stuff going on below the surface. Recently, we did this series called The Dark Passenger. We ripped it off from Dexter. And we're Dexter fans. But it was all about wanting to raise awareness in the people in our community about the stuff that does go on beneath the surface. And why sometimes things are going on the way we're going on. Why we're thinking the way we're thinking. Why we're caught maybe in these patterns and troubles. And there was such a resounding feedback from the series. Maybe and if you're interested in this, you can podcast our messages online. And you can listen to some of the stuff that we talk through. Our goal is to be able to help people engage beyond the surface talk. We don't want church to be this place where everyone has to put on plastic smiles and have to be something there aren't, but to be free to be able to go there. Now listen to me. Every time someone takes a step to loosen the grip of some kind of pattern in their life, every time someone is able to step out from a cycle that they've been in, that they just, it's like a, it just keeps sucking them back in. Every time someone's able to step out of that and live in a new level of freedom. Every time we watch someone who has been plagued by relational challenges, able to turn it and be able to step out and go, man, I'm experiencing some freedom right now. when we begin to watch that in people's lives, and begin to kind of, the smile comes up. It's like, man, I am breathing oxygen for the first time in a long time. I've been sucking wind for so long. I barely catch my breath. First time in a long time. I'm feeling like I'm getting ahead. Boy, that's when we know the Easter story is being lived out. People coming alongside them, just like this song said. Someone coming alongside and saying, hey, don't worry about that guy. Hey, look at me. Yeah, they're saying that. Don't worry about that. Come over here. Look at me. You stay focused. This is what I love about this Jimmy Eat World song. You sing it and you're going, yeah, that's pretty cool. But here's a person that's, the voice of that song is looking at a buddy and going, come on, we're going to get through this. You're going to be all right. Come on, we're going to get through this. That's the role of Christian community. That's what we envision. This tune, when I hear it now, I go, oh man, let's build a community that's full of people that are rallying alongside, breaking patterns, pulling people out of those cycles, seeing them experience freedom in their lives. Hey, that's the Easter story, Jesus living in us and through us, so that our eyes aren't staring at our feet, but we're actually able to get up and start looking at those around us, actually caring beyond just ourselves. Too exciting. Very exciting. All right. Do you have stuff below the surface that needs to be addressed? Maybe you're one of those people that just looking for that opportunity. Perhaps we can help in some way. Come and chat with us. We want to help. So we're gonna wrap up with a tune here right away. But we began this morning with this question: was about Easter. Was it the end? Was it something that was finished? Was it an era that was over? Or was it the start of something that was going on? And we believe it was the start of something powerful, that's life-changing, that's been going on ever since that day when the whispers and the rumors started spreading that Jesus was no longer in the tomb. The word on the streets was that he had risen. Ever since that time, people have been taking these words of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the power of Jesus, and been living it out. To this day, 2,000 years later, here we are saying, we can be a part of the Easter story. Now, I don't know your story. I don't know if you've ever experienced what it's like to kind of intentionally take water to your world. But there is something that changes in a life when all of a sudden you start taking your everyday world and you start saying, how can I change my world around me in some positive way? When dads and moms start thinking and looking at their kids specifically and going, I think I could do this better for my kids. When spouses and partners start looking toward each other and start saying, you know what? I can be better for you. I can meet your needs much better. When people start looking beyond and looking at their employees and their employers and their neighbors, and people maybe even just sitting on the peripheral, when they start looking intentionally at the resources that they have within their power, and how they could use those, and they start living unselfishly, something drastically changes. Not just in the world. That's a given. You impact your world, but something changes inside of you, where all of a sudden life starts to take on more meaning. It's not just punching in and punching out. You begin to realize you're part of a bigger picture. Every time I start talking about this, I'll have someone, they'll go, yeah, but man, the world's so broken, and you do something, you get one step ahead, and then someone comes along and undoes the thing you just did. Skeptics. Say, what really, what good can you guys do? You want to make a difference in the world. Oh, platitudes. Doesn't everyone talk like that? Probably there are the same voices that were ringing out when Jesus was sitting with a group of 12 going, you guys truly can change the world. Probably sounded just the same. And there was Jesus when all the critics were sitting there going, the guy's smoking crack. And he's looking at his followers. He's going, don't stop believing in this thing. Don't stop believing. And even when it looked like all hope was gone, someone stepped up and the dream just kept on perpetuating. Here we are 2,000 years later, and I'm telling you, there are great things happening all around us. Be a part of this. I invite you to join us and be a part. And don't stop believing. Let's end with this song, shall we? Yeah, come on. You're in for a treat. So I want to close with a prayer, and why don't I just pray? God, I'm grateful that you live in the everyday with us, that we don't say goodbye to you when we leave church, the building, but you're with us no matter where we go and what we're doing, because you care about the things we care about. Pray, God, for every person in this room. This morning, as we've talked about taking water, allowing Jesus to live in the way that we live, pray for every person that would pick up that torch. You will guide them and lead them. Amen. Thank you again for joining us. You know, if you're new here, and I've talked to a few people here this morning who just aren't into any church in particular. And they saw our banner and said, hey, let's go check that out. You know what? We welcome you back. Come on out and hang out with us. Join us in this journey. Don't be strangers. We'd love to meet you. And, you know, there's still coffee. The banner's going to rock out a little bit. You don't have to run off. Shake a few hands if you like, or be friendly or not. You don't have to be. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week.